The wait is over. That's right. Season 5 of The Kardashians is here. Just when you thought life couldn't get any faster, they're punching it into overdrive. Kris, Kourtney, Kim, Khloe, Kendall, and Kylie are back and continue to defy expectations in all their endeavors. So, get ready to go behind the glitz and glamour of the most iconic family on television. The all-new season of The Kardashians premieres May 23rd, streaming on Hulu.
Dive into the start of summer at Whole Foods Market. Check out their summer splash event with sales on fresh organic produce, organic strawberries, and a fan favorite sale on Ben & Jerry's and Talenti. Explore deals on grill-friendly meats like organic air-chilled chicken breast, beef and chicken kebabs, all with no antibiotics ever from our meat department. Plus, grab easy sides from prepared foods and cool off with refreshing drinks. Kick off your summer and shop in store or online at Whole Foods Market today.
Want to teach your kids financial literacy, but not sure where to start? Greenlight can help. With Greenlight, parents can keep an eye on kids' spending and saving, while kids and teens use a card of their own to build money confidence. As a parent, you can send instant money transfers, set up chores, automate allowance, and more. It's a convenient way to run your household, customized to your family's needs, and the easy way to raise financially smart kids. Get started with Greenlight today and get your first month free at greenlight.com/odyssey.
And away we go, hour number 3 of our radio program. That's right, it is the Zach Gelb Show on the Infinity Sports Network. 855-212-4227 is the number to jump on in. 855-212-4227. You could always get at me on Instagram, X, Twitter, at Zach Gelb. That's Z-A-C-H-G-E-L-B. Appreciate Derek Stepan, who joined us in the last segment. We had Cedric Cornbread Maxwell join us at 3:20 p.m. Eastern Time today, and that was 12:20 p.m. Pacific. If you missed any of those interviews, you could always go to my Twitter X page, at Zach Gelb. The link is in my bio, and it takes us to all the archive segments, or if you listen to us via the free Odyssey app, you could use the 24-hour rewind function if you missed any of the show. Pete DeBoer, the head coach of the Dallas Stars, in another conference final. He's going to go up against the Edmonton Oilers, and he will join us 20 minutes from now. You have game one of the Eastern Conference Finals tonight with the Celtics going up against the Indiana Pacers. I think the Celtics are going to win the series in 5. In the other series, I picked the Timberwolves to take care of Dallas in 6. Stu, where are you at before we get into this Justin Jefferson conversation? C's and how many? Let's start in the Eastern Conference.
Celtics in 5.
Oh, so you're with me as well?
Yes.
Oh, so we're agreeing.
Sorry.
Man, we should be like other radio shows that just contrive things and just make it fade.
Pacers at 7.
Yeah, you take the other side even if you don't believe it and just yell. That's what you should do.
How dare you disrespect the Pacers?
And in the Western Conference, are you going with the – so Cornbread Maxwell obviously thinks the Celtics are going to win. Then in the West, he was like, ah, bleep it. I'm going to – well, he didn't actually say that, but he was pretty much like, ah, pretty much bleep it. And he said he was going to go with the Mavericks to take care of the Timberwolves. I'm not going to bet against the Timberwolves right now. I do believe that Luka Doncic and Kyrie Irving are the best dynamic duo remaining in the postseason. We talked about this earlier. I have Luka and Kyrie 1, Anthony Edwards, Carl Anthony Towns 2, Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown 3, Splitting Hairs 2 and 3, and then Halliburton and Siakam in at 4, way down below at 4. But who do you go with the West?
This one's tough. I, of the last two series in the West, I have no feel for either series. I feel like the Nuggets-Wolves, I thought the Nuggets were dead, then I thought the Wolves were dead, and then, you know, the Wolves came back and won the series.
And the Thunder-Mavs series, right when
had no idea.
The Thunder
each
took game 2,
yeah,
and the Mavs are about to go up 3-1, and they made that 2-2, you thought for sure it was going to be the Thunder were going to win in what we thought was the best of 3 series. Then the Mavericks won game 5, and once the Mavericks won game 5, it's like, okay, then they're going to win game 6 because they blew game 4 in their home court. But then in game 6, it went right down to the wire where you had the Shai Gilgeous-Alexander foul that put P.J. Washington on the line, and the Mavericks ended up winning that game by 1 point. So nothing will surprise me in the West. Like, if you tell me that the Mavericks lose in 5, I wouldn't be surprised. If you tell me that the Timberwolves lose in 7, I wouldn't be surprised. Like, you could tell me anything in the Western Conference, maybe outside of a sweep. You know, 5's probably being generous. I feel like this series is going to go 6. 6 bare minimum. You know, I'm not going to dismiss it being 7. You got to see how Luka's leg and all the other injuries are going to hold up, but it didn't look like to bother him after game 1 in that series. Maybe a little bit in game four, it was hurting him, but I thought that a lot of that was acting. I'm not saying he doesn't have like a legitimate injury. We know he has legitimate injuries, but anytime he like fell down on the court, he was like struggling to get up, and it was always after a negative play. But then he looked pretty damn good after that. So I'm rolling with the Timberwolves in six. I'm just not going to bet against Anthony Edwards right now. And you saw what they did in game seven, where they outscored Denver 60-37. They were down by 20 at one point in the second half. And Ant was, he was what, 6-24 from the field? He was dreadful. He had 16 points in the game. But offensively, he did jack, but defensively, he was a menace. And that Timberwolves defense, what they did in game two without Rudy Gobert against Nikola Jokic was sensational. So I'll roll with the Timberwolves in six. Are you agreeing with me again on this?
I'm agreeing with you. I'll go seven, though. Okay. I think this goes the distance. Yeah.
There's a guy in the YouTube chat, a guy named Angel. Very nice guy. I think some people in the YouTube chat may not like him because he's been blocked by a lot of people. I don't have any issues, though, with Angel. Because sometimes I respond to the YouTube chat. And when it's positive, everyone loves when I respond to the YouTube chat. But then if I respond to something's negative and just have like a little back and forth with someone, people are like, oh, Zach's sensitive. Which is just so stupid. But, you know, I could be like everyone else and just not even respond to the YouTube chat. But this guy Angel, he's on this thing where he thinks it's lame when talk show hosts, they pick a team in seven. Because the reason why this person thinks it's lame is because of the fact then if, let's say, Stu takes the Timberwolves in seven and then the Nuggets, or excuse me, the Mavericks win in seven, you could in a more easier way justify why you didn't pick the team to win the series. You know, it's amazing to me. We do a radio show here. People think there's some science to this. People think we have, like, this hamster wheel that's running, and it's the craziest formula. A lot of people in our industry make this job a lot more difficult than it needs to be. I'll let you in on a little secret. You sit down, you talk sports, you have fun. If anyone thinks I'm picking a team in seven, because God forbid if I'm wrong, it's going to be easier to justify it, you are giving me way too much credit. I know they don't like this when I say this. I went to freaking Temple University. Don't get me wrong, a fine school. But it's not like an Ivy League school that Perloff went to. But the people that think that there's formulas behind my picks, give me a break. If I'm right, I'm right. I'll be the first one to tell you. If I'm wrong, I'm wrong. I'll acknowledge I'm wrong. But it's amazing when you pick a team and you're wrong, and people are like, oh, well, you should have more guts. You know, you can't pick a team to win in seven? It's inconceivable to see, with two teams remaining in the West, a series to go to seven? So you know what? Angel, I'll listen to you. I will go Timberwolves in six, and I'll take the C's in five. I hope that's big and bold enough for some of the people that are listening to
me. I'll go seven so I could be more right when I'm wrong.
Yeah, that's true. When you are wrong, and let's say the Mavericks upset the Timberwolves, you'll then be a coward, Stu. Because you'll be saying, well, I didn't really disrespect the Dallas Mavericks. You know, I thought it was a coin flip, and I thought this series would go seven games. Anywho, let me talk about one thing that really annoys me right now. Justin Jefferson. It's not him. I love Justin Jefferson. But Justin Jefferson not showing up to OTAs. I love how this story is getting reported. The story is Justin Jefferson's not showing up to OTAs. Everyone freaks out. That would be like, because this is the part that's not being reported, the OTAs are voluntary. Could you imagine, Stu, if we got an email from our boss, David Mayernick or Ryan Hurley, and they said, Stu, you know what? This upcoming Friday, it's voluntary to show up to work. Are you showing up to work? Don't be like a good employee sucking up to the boss this year. If the boss says it's voluntary to show up to work, you're still getting paid either way. Are you showing up to work?
I am not showing up to work.
Yeah. You know what? I'm going to be honest, too. If the bosses came to me and said Friday, which I am taking off Friday to get a little earlier start on Memorial Day weekend. But if on Friday, which they always do this on Friday, and this annoys me, right, when you're on the air, because you can't leave if you're not off. They go, oh, the office will be shutting early. So I could say this because my father's in sales. So all the people in sales who aren't showing up anyway on Friday before Memorial Day because they're going to be working from home, a.k.a. they're going to start their partying festivities a little bit early, they could all leave at like 12 o'clock. When I got my first job out of college, 9:20 a.m. in New Jersey, And I was working at this station, and I was literally a one-man band. Produced my show, screened the phone calls while I was in the segment hosting the show. I was the board op for the show, and I was the program director. But there was a large sales team. When they would send out that email, when I was a one-person band, and it was like, oh, yeah, everyone gets to get out of the office early on a Friday before holiday, drive me bonkers, because I did the show from 4 to 6 p.m. Eastern. So there's no getting out early for one Zach Gelb. So everyone, you know, program directors, management, salespeople, promotions people, they get to get out early. I have to use an off day. So it is what it is. I'm sure everyone's playing the small violin. But that's a big pet peeve of mine. When people talk about, oh, we get to let everyone out. Like the company, they're doing us a favor. Oh, everyone gets a jump start on the weekend. What about everyone on the air? We don't get a jump start on the weekend. Could you imagine if we just did like a day of silence? They just broadcasted like a tone. You're listening to the Infinity Sports Network. We'll be back in 24 hours.
It's like the crowd noise from the games. They don't have the announcers. It's just, yeah.
Do you remember the day in the NBA where they were like, we're going old school? No in crowd. There's going to be no in stadium sound. They did that once. It sounded awesome. Now you listen to an NBA game. Yeah, someone dribbling down the court at a crucial moment. It's like an EDM concert. It's wild. I think there's something about the natural crowd sound when you get like a defense, defense. But even that goes with like a beat because they have to get everyone riled up. Like whatever happened today, you just show up and you cheer for your team or you boo your team. Now we got to have like a whole presentation, a whole show. But anyway, Justin Jefferson is not showing up to OTAs. So because Justin Jefferson doesn't have a new contract, everyone's like, oh, he's not showing up, so he's annoyed at the team. He probably is annoyed at the team. He should have got a new deal last year. He didn't get a new deal last year. And it makes no sense to me why we sit here on the 21st day of May in the year of 2024 and Justin Jefferson doesn't have a new contract now. Stupid. So I talked about this yesterday. I fear that the Vikings make him play through this season, then tag him after that, and then you eventually trade him for two first-round picks. Not only would that be a disservice to Vikings fans, it would be an enormous disservice to the quarterback in J.J. McCarthy. You would be stunting the development of J.J. McCarthy. Why is J.J. McCarthy a good draft pick for Minnesota? It's because they're loaded with talent. They have good head coach and Kevin O'Connell, offensive line. You got Justin Jefferson. You got Jordan Addison. You got T.J. Hockenson when he's healthy. You got Aaron Jones in the backfield. For McCarthy, it's all about fit. So don't do this stupid thing, Minnesota, where you play him for one more season, you play around with him, you don't give that new contract to him, and then you try to trade him a year from now for two first-round picks. And none of those players that you drafted, those two first-round picks, will come close to being Justin Jefferson. This is ridiculous that this deal didn't get done last year. I know it's going to cost you north of $30 million a year. I don't care. That's one of the best offensive players in football. That is a preeminent player in the game, one of them. You got to pay him. Don't be Minnesota here and mess this up. Don't get rid of Justin Jefferson. So I don't really care that he's not showing up to voluntary OTAs, but I do care that they haven't got this deal done yet. Minnesota, get it done. So, who are the most valuable non-quarterbacks in the NFL on the offensive side of the ball? You know, forget defense, right, with your TJ Watts and your Myles Garretts. There's a ton of them. But on offense, non-quarterbacks, who are the five most valuable players in the NFL on the offensive side of the ball that's not a quarterback? So I put together a list, and I'll give you the five players right now, and I'll put them in order. In at number five, it's Travis Kelce. He is the Robin to Batman, Batman being Patrick Mahomes. I know Kelce slowed down a little bit last year in the regular season, but come playoff time, he was sensational. Trent Williams. On this show, we love offensive linemen. We love big boys. You know, a lot of other shows, they'll be like, oh, speed, 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 speed. We only talk wide receivers. We only talk running backs. The NFL, I hate to be cliche here, but you win in the battle of the trenches. And Trent Williams, for a long time, has been such a great player in this league. So Trent Williams in at number four. Number three, it's Justin Jefferson. Number two, it's Tyreek Hill with how great he is. And then number one it's run CMC and Christian McCaffrey. I think those are the five most valuable non-quarterbacks on the offensive side of the ball in the NFL. Stu, before we get to Peter DeBoer, you got a few that you like to throw in the running here?
Yeah, I have a few as well. You mentioned Kelsey. I have another tight end that I think is very valuable. He got injured this year, but Mark Andrews is someone that is extremely valuable. It's kind of the security blanket for Lamar Jackson. So I think he is, in terms of non-quarterbacks, very valuable. I'll also go Quentin Nelson. I think he's one of the best offensive linemen in the league. Guards and centers don't really get a lot of love. So
remember that video of him screaming on the block, and then it wasn't actually, it was altered?
Yeah.
That always stinks when you thought something was real and spectacular, and then it's altered. Who else?
And I'll go two receivers here, Jamar Chase and Davante Adams. Just utter class, just incredible playmakers. I think Adams would wish he had a better quarterback these days, but I still think those two guys are extremely valuable and talented.
Botcher mentioned the name earlier. You got to throw Derrick Henry in that conversation. He mentioned it for a different topic of conversation. I'll throw one more. Maybe this guy, in terms of a national talking point, took a step back in terms of value because of what we saw from Puka Nacua this past year. But Cooper Kupp, you know, that guy won a triple crown, and I'm not talking about horse racing, and also won a Super Bowl MVP. So I got to throw Cooper Kupp into that conversation. All right, it is the Zach Gelb Show on the Infinity Sports Network. We will go from talking NBA to football, now back to the ice when we return. Peter DeBoer is in another conference final. He's going to join us, and he will preview his Dallas Stars series as they do take on the Edmonton Oilers when we return in 5 minutes.
You're listening to the Zach Gelb Show.
All righty, the Final Four is set in the Stanley Cup playoffs in the East. You know, you have the Panthers going up against the Rangers. In the West, you have the Dallas Stars going up against the Edmonton Oilers. The head coach of the Dallas Stars is, of course, Peter DeBoer, who's kind enough to join us once again on the Zach Gelb Show on the Infinity Sports Network. Coach, congratulations. Thanks for the time, and how you been?
Fantastic, Zach. How about you?
Well, I've been fantastic, and I appreciate you jumping on board with us. So over the weekend, when Duchesne scores that goal to send you guys to the Western Conference Final in an epic overtime game, just relive it for me and take me back to that.
Yeah, you know what? It was, just a lot of emotion, right? We finished with the second best record, regular season record in the league behind the Rangers, win the Western Conference during the season, and the bonus for that is you get the Las Vegas Golden Knights in the first round and the Colorado Avalanche in the second round, the last two Stanley Cup winners. So it was quite a gauntlet of teams, and, you know, credit to our group. They didn't make excuses. They just kind of rolled up their sleeves and dug in, and, you know, but it was a relief to get through both those teams, because you could argue they're two of the top five or six teams in the league.
And we know how talented your team is, but the mental toughness of this team really stands out. You guys were down 0-2 to Vegas. You win that series. You lose game one up against the Avalanche in crushing fashion, and then you pull off three straight, and then you go on the road and win a game six. Just how about the mental toughness of this group, and how do you kind of get the feel of your squad in the locker room, and you see that resiliency?
Yeah, you know what? It's a great question, and you know, not to pump our guys' tires any more than you already are, but Colorado had the best home record in the league, and we won three games in Colorado in that series, including the eventual elimination game. So just big character test, gutty efforts by our group, no excuses. And you know what? When I look back, now I'm not surprised. We've been playing really good hockey for a while now. Obviously, the trade deadline, picking up Chris Tanev, kind of solidified our defense. But even prior to that, we were playing the right way.
You know, going back to the first round, you know, you've been around in a bunch of spots and used to coach the Vegas Golden Knights. And we know what happened last year when you guys lost to them in the conference final. When you were able to defeat them, what did that mean to you personally? Where obviously you're happy, but then you know some of the guys on the other side.
Yeah. You know what? It was a little easier this year than last year. I think you're a year removed. Last year when they beat us, my feeling was if we couldn't win, you know, I really hope that some of those players and some of the people I worked with there in my time would get an opportunity to win, because there was some fantastic players and people that that I developed relationships with while I was there. A year later, you know, you're another year removed and they did win. So it was almost a feeling like, okay, you had your turn. You know, how about we get a turn now? But I'll tell you what, that was a war of a series. Went seven games. I mean, Vegas was much better than their record. They had a ton of injuries all year and ended up getting healthy for playoff game one. And, you know, that roster top to bottom, I believe, was better than the Stanley Cup roster Wow. that we played last year in the conference finals. So that was a big task to come out of the gate and start the playoffs with.
Coach, how do you handle the emotions of these games? Because we were talking about it, Peter DeBoer, before you got on, especially these overtime games. If you have a dog in the fight, you have like 10,000 heart attacks in these games. And if you don't have a dog in the fight, they're just equally as stressful. If you've been in four of the last five conference finals, how the heck do you just stand upright still after all this craziness?
Drink heavily, Zach. I drink. no, you know, I think what happens with experience, you learn to roll with it better. You know, I think as a young coach, you know, my first playoff run was with the New Jersey Devils, right up the road from you there. And we went to the Stanley Cup Finals and lost in six to L.A. And then I had another few runs in San Jose and my next stop, one to a final and then a couple conference finals. So I think every time you go on a deep run, I think you learn to manage the emotions of it a little bit better.
Yeah, sources say I can't confirm or deny this story. I may have been underage, but I think you made me drink heavily when your Devils beat my Rangers with that Adam Henrique. Oh, it still drives me nuts to this day.
I was going to bring that up when you asked me about the Matt Duchene goal, what it reminded me of. It reminded me of Adam Henrique knocking the Rangers out at the Prudential Center that night, which was, you know, still one of the highlights of my career. I tell people all the time, unless you're living and coaching and working in the New York, New Jersey area, you know, that rivalry is crazy. I mean, I lived in Madison, New Jersey, and the town was absolutely split between Devils and Rangers fans. And, you know, I think that can be said for every town in New Jersey and New York.
Pete DeBoer here with us. By the way, what is your drink of choice?
I'm now, because I'm living in Texas, I'm a Tito's soda with a splash of lime.
Like it. Those home games, by the way, wild. The Stars, they have a great fan base. I've been really impressed with the fan base the last 2 years watching them since you've been the head coach.
Yeah, they really have. And, you know, and I worked in Vegas for 3 years, which is probably the craziest hockey environment in the league. But I'll tell you what.
The pregame ritual in Vegas. I went to Knights Oilers this year during the Super Bowl week when we were out there. I could have left before they even dropped the puck on the ice. It was wild.
Yeah. But as far as like just sheer fan energy in the building, Dallas, Texas does it as good as anybody. These people are on their seats. It's they're having fun. You know, everyone's got a drink in their hand, and you know, more hockey knowledgeable base than I would have anticipated. But I shouldn't. I mean, they've been around for almost 30 years. So you know, it's been a real pleasure working here and our group playing in front of those fans down in the American Airlines Center.
Pete DeBoer here with us, the coach of the Stars. They'll go up against the Oilers in the Western Conference Final. Stars had the most points in the West this year. We know how great the Oilers team is. We saw their excellence last night where they just dominated that game. I know it got close late like most of these games do. When you were watching that Oilers game last night, you know the team, and obviously you played them throughout the year, but what really stands out to you about them?
Well, I think a lot like us. It's a team that went on a deep run last year, recognized that they had some shortcomings and went out and addressed them, you know, and, you know, for Edmonton, Skinner looks like he's playing back at the level he needs to play at in the playoffs to win. But they're also deeper on defense and deeper up front. You know, when you've got guys like Matthias Janmark on your fourth line, who I've had the pleasure of coaching in Vegas, you're a pretty deep team, and Connor Brown on the fourth line, like that, you've got some depth to your group. And that's with Adam Henrique, our old friend, on the injured sidelines. I assume he's going to be back here at some point in the series, if not game one. So they're a much deeper team than they were a year ago. And you've always got that two-headed monster in McDavid and Draisaitl, who have been two of the best, if not the best players in the league the last 8-10 years.
Pete DeBoer here with us. And I know this time of the year, every coach is going to say, guys, stay out of the penalty box. But their power play is just unreal, yeah. Right? We know top in the league. You mentioned every one of the great players that the Oilers have. As a coach, when you say to your guys, hey, stay out of the penalty box, you don't want their physicality to go away. So how can you still be physical but be smart up against this Oilers team?
Yeah, it's a great point. And then that is priority one. I mean, if we put this team on the power play 4 or 5 times, they're going to make you pay. You know, for our group, it's easy. We were the least penalized team in the league all year. We managed to play physical and heavy and hard and did it without taking penalties. I believe we're the least penalized team still left in the playoffs. So, you know, it's not like we have to rewire our group in order to do that. It should just be business as usual.
Wrap it up with Peter DeBoer. Talk to me about your goaltender, Ottinger. Every night, he's just been sensational for you guys, it feels like.
He has. And you know what? Like a lot of great starting goalies, he's also a leader in the dressing room. But it hasn't come easy this year for him. We lost to Vegas in the conference finals last year. He was playing injured. He had surgery immediately following the season, missed his whole summer, came back this year in September, had a good start, then got injured again, you know, was basically out until Christmas. And then, you know, really struggled finding his footing the second half until just before the playoffs. And he's been on an absolute roll. I think a lot of it just healthy and feeling good about himself again. And, you know, we were playing pretty well in front of him too, but he's always there with a big stop. And his numbers when the game's on the line, third periods, overtimes are off the charts. So that's the kind of goaltending you need.
You never know how youngsters are going to respond this time of the year. We know the first season Wyatt Johnson had, but for him to be 21 and the jump that he made year one to year two, I know it's not unexpected, but man, what a special player you're coaching right now.
Special player. He's hard to describe because he's just unflappable. Most young players come in and, you know, have highs and lows and you know, you have to take sometimes 2 steps back to take a step forward. This kid's, we plopped him in the lineup as a 19-year-old last year, and he's just gotten better and better, and he's adding more layers to his game. Last year, he didn't kill penalties. Now he's killing penalties. Last year, he was playing about 15 minutes a night. This year, I've got him up to 20 in the playoffs, and I think leading our forwards in ice time. Just the more I give him, the better he gets, and he's going to be a special player for a long time in this league.
And you got some youngsters on this team. Logan only played 24 games in the regular season. He's been a big player for you guys in the playoffs too, and you're asking a lot out of him. When did you know he was ready for more on his plate right away?
Well, that's a great point. I mean, Logan Stankoven and Thomas Hartley on defense for us are two other young players that are playing huge roles for us. With Stankoven, you know, he led the American League in scoring before we called him up. I think he probably could have come up earlier than he did. We knew he was going to be an effective NHL player. We had injury. We didn't have any injuries, and the cap was a factor. So I think the extra time helped him, and he got up for me, the perfect amount of games. It wasn't 5 or 10 where, you know, he still wasn't comfortable. It was 24, and he feels comfortable, and he's adding something to us every night. And you know, one of the biggest stories of young players in the league is Thomas Hartley, a young defenseman for us who led our defense scoring in goals this year. I think he had 15, more than Heiskanen, and he plays in all situations, skates like the wind. He's been invaluable too.
And I know you got to run, so last thing I'll ask you, Pete DeBoer, as you have the Stars and the Oilers going up in the Western Conference Final, really do appreciate Coach joining us. You know, we talked about youngsters. I know you coach Pavelski now. This is the second time coaching him. Jamie Benn is Mr. Dallas. Just how about the Grizzly vets, I guess, on this team?
Yeah, we got a great mix. You know, you got those young kids, and then you've got that group of older veterans, Pavelski, Suter, Ben, who have had great careers and have done everything but win a Stanley Cup. And otherwise, Seggy did in Boston as a rookie, but it was so long ago that he says it doesn't really count anymore. He's considering himself one of those guys again. They want nothing more than to win it, and they're willing to do anything in order to play a part in that. They've all taken less ice time, less special teams time in order to let some of these young guys flourish. And as a result, we've got a better team for it, and just fabulous leadership.
Coach, appreciate the time. Can't thank you enough for doing this, and good luck.
Thanks, Zach. Always a pleasure catching up with you.
You got it. Thanks so much. There he is, Pete DeBoer, the head coach of the Dallas Stars, joining us once again back in the conference final. We'll see if he gets four wins and go back to a Stanley Cup final. We'll take a timeout. We will return with a little news brief update on some of the biggest stories in the world of sports with some audio. But let's get the latest Infinity Sports Network update first with the Ackman Rich Act.
The wait is over. That's right. Season 5 of The Kardashians is here. Just when you thought life couldn't get any faster, they're punching it into overdrive. Kris, Kourtney, Kim, Khloe, Kendall, and Kylie are back and continue to defy expectations in all their endeavors. So, get ready to go behind the glitz and glamour of the most iconic family on television. The all-new season of The Kardashians premieres May 23rd, streaming on Hulu.
Dive into the start of summer at Whole Foods Market. Check out their Summer Splash event with sales on fresh organic produce, organic strawberries, and a fan favorite sale on Ben & Jerry's and Talenti. Explore deals on grill-friendly meats like organic air-chilled chicken breast, beef and chicken kebabs, all with no antibiotics ever from our meat department. Plus, grab easy sides from prepared foods and cool off with refreshing drinks. Kick off your summer and shop in store or online at Whole Foods Market today.
Want to teach your kids financial literacy, but not sure where to start? Greenlight can help. With Greenlight, parents can keep an eye on kids' spending and saving, while kids and teens use a card of their own to build money confidence. As a parent, you can send instant money transfers, set up chores, automate allowance, and more. It's a convenient way to run your household, customized to your family's needs, and the easy way to raise financially smart kids. Get started with Greenlight today and get your first month free at greenlight.com/odyssey.
You're listening to The Zach Gelb Show.
All righty, it is The Zach Gelb Show on the Infinity Sports Network. This portion of the show is brought to you by Wesley Financial. Stuck in a timeshare and want out? Contact Wesley Financial Group now and get a free timeshare exit information kit at wesleyfinancialgroup.com. It's time to update you on the biggest stories in the world of sports with some audio. Let's get to a news brief.
Time for your daily news brief. We get you caught up on the rumors, reports, and reconnaissance from the day in sports.
All righty, let's start off with Aaron Rodgers. He had a pretty big choice to make this offseason that every quarterback, of course, has to make.
Yeah, I love Bobby. We had a couple really nice conversations, but there were really two options. It was retire and be his VP, or keep playing. And I want to keep playing.
I love how he calls him Bobby. So RFK Jr. asked Aaron Rodgers to be his VP candidate, something he would not have won, even if he ran on the ticket with Aaron Rodgers, with the RFK Jr. So the choice was be vice president or have a chance to really not have a chance to be vice president or keep on playing for the JTS Jets. That is just an unreal cut. When the Jets traded for Aaron Rodgers, they ever think those words would come out of his mouth? I could either try to be VP or be the quarterback of the team. That would have been one of the craziest endings to an NFL career. Why did that guy Rodgers retire? Oh, to try to go be vice president of the United States. Jeez Louise. And then when he doesn't win, would he then have a triumphant return at the end of the Jets season to try to save him? Oy, oy, oy. Here is Drew Rosenhaus. He's not the agent for Tua Tagovailoa, but we know the legendary agent is Drew Rosenhaus. WSVN-TV on Tua's contract situation.
I think it has to be in the ballpark of Jared Goff. To me, they're comparable players. I think when you look at Tua's statistics comparable to Goff, they're pretty close. And I would be surprised if it's not a similar deal. It's hard to have a successful season when your leader isn't all in. So I think he's got all the leverage in the world, and I expect a deal to get done by training camp.
Here's the thing. If I'm the Dolphins and if I'm the Jaguars, right? Tua's entering the fifth year of his rookie contract. That's a fifth-year option. And then Trevor Lawrence going into his fourth year. Both of those guys, people are saying they're due for contract extensions, so you have to pay them north of $50 million. I'm telling Tua, and I'm telling Trevor, you play this year. And you play excellent football, then we'll give you the deal. Like, in all likelihood, the Dolphins are going to end up paying Tua. And the Jaguars are going to end up paying Trevor Lawrence. It could cost you a few more million per year next year, but Tua Tagovailoa has been up and down. This past year, he had the statistics of a top-five quarterback, but I didn't think he was top-five quarterback in the league. Trevor Lawrence, first year, got screwed by Urban Meyer. Second year, played really well. And third year, he was hurt. So I'm not rushing to give either an extension right now, but time is coming to make that decision. You don't have to make it right now. You can have good faith negotiations and not give the deal. They want to take a little less, then maybe you get the deal done now. But I'm telling both players, show me why you earn that money this year and go earn it and why you should get that money, and then I'll gladly pay you. Here is Brian Callahan, the new coach of the Tennessee Titans, on Tennessee attempting to keep Derrick Henry this offseason. This is on the Bussin' with the Boys podcast via Barstool.
They had touched base. Rand had a relationship with him, obviously being there for a year, and they went back and forth on what the money would look like, and we just knew we had the holes that we had to fill. The money would be allocated initially elsewhere. Mm-hmm. And the running back market went pretty good. I mean, there's some guys that got paid. It was higher money than I think maybe we had projected to start across the league for the running back position. And that's good for those guys. That's great. And so when you get into those positions where, you know, we're trying to fill multiple holes in a free agency period, it's like, where do you want to allocate the money and how do you want to spend it? Mm-hmm. And I think that I would have been absolutely open to Derek coming back. I think it felt like Derek was ready for something new. And then the money part, when it happened, those conversations go back and forth. And Ultimately it was, for both parties, probably the best decision at the end of the day for him and for us.
I literally raised my eyebrows during that whole response. I wanted to roll my eyes. It was a good marriage, Tennessee and Derek Henry. Derek wanted out. You guys wanted out. It ran its course. You guys are at a different stage where he's in right now. He's at the back end of his career. You guys trying to rebuild this team. And I don't want to say you didn't need him, but it was time for him to go somewhere else. And you don't overpay at that position. Now, it's that simple. Let's go to Bryce Young on making the jump from year one to year two, a dreadful year one, now trying to rebound in year two.
We definitely have some new stuff, some stuff that, for me, it's just been a good opportunity to learn and step back and, you know, look at things from a different perspective. You look at football from one lens for a long time, and then, you know, you get super locked in with whatever the way is of, you know, specific coaching staff. And, you know, this is new energy. It's a lot of new philosophy. So for me, it's just about taking all that coaching. I trust them and learning from them.
You know, the owner of the Panthers is a pig in David Tepper. I can't stand that dude. But I want to root for Bryce Young this year. I want to see the redemption of Bryce Young this year. They beefed up that offensive line. He got a little extra talent around him in the wide receiver position. I hope he bounces back this year, but it's tough to trust that organization. Here is Dave Canales, new coach of the Panthers, and what he likes so far, what he's been seeing out of Bryce Young.
Deep ball, short intermediate. He's a really accurate passer. I think one of the things that I love is I can really focus in on his footwork and his base and the mechanics of where his eyes are at when I know the ball's hitting the receivers. And so, you know, for the last couple weeks, been throwing on air. I don't have to worry about where the ball's going. You know, he's very accurate.
And let's go to Charvarius Ward. He was asked on the Up and Adams show on their upcoming week one matchup against the Jets. Nothing like some smack talk led by Ward of the 49ers in May when you have a game getting played in September. But get your popcorn ready.
How do you pick off Aaron Rodgers? What's the secret?
Out. Yeah. He gotta give him an opportunity. I'm pretty sure I'm probably gonna be following Garrett Wilson around. That's his name, right?
Yeah.
I'm probably gonna follow Garrett around. So he they big dog. I'm the big dog in the city. So we gonna see Miss Kate.
You can't say the guy's name so quickly, Garrett Wilson, and then go, that's his name, right? Like, for example, there's been times, and I pretty much know almost everyone we work here, but there's been some days where they bring someone in, I didn't know that person was going to be working on the show, and I don't remember the person's name or haven't seen the person's name, and there'll be days where I'm, like, looking at that person, and then I just won't say. It happened one time, to be clear. And then when I usually do the intro, I, you know, mention who's working on the show. Botcher today, Stu Kovacs, and that day I just didn't say anything. And I said to Samter the day Stu was out, this was like a year and a half ago, when I think I was filling in on this show, actually, before, you know, I said we're going to make you the host of the show. And I was like, who is this person that I'm working with? I forget his, I knew the person's last name, but didn't know the person's first name. So, you know, if I sat there and I was like, the last name of the person, wait, what's your first name? Like, you can maybe get that to pass off. But when you go, yeah, I'll be guarding Garrett Wilson. That's his name, right? Garrett Wilson? Come on, you know who Garrett Wilson is. Don't be an A-bleep. Let's go to Paul Feinbaum on the impact not using the transfer portal is having on Dabo Sweeney at Clemson. This is on McElroy and Kublik. This is on Jocks FM. Love those guys, Greg McElroy and Cole Kublik.
It is catching up to him as we speak. I'm talking about people that graduated from Clemson, people who are Clemson fans, and I run into a lot of them based on where I live. And they don't think Dabo Sweeney is going to be there a long time. And when I mean a long time, I mean 3 to 5 years. I mean, I think his time is nearly up. To me, he is falling so far behind. And that doesn't mean they can't have a good program. That is, if you call 9-3 or 8-4, or maybe an occasional 10-2, a good program. But that's not the same school that went to 6 consecutive TFPs a couple of years ago, that played for 4 national championships. I think that part of it is over.
Yeah, they'll probably make another college football playoff again in Dabo's time, because there's 12 teams now. But I don't think they'll ever win a national championship again. And Dabo's stubborn, and we'll see how much longer he'll be the coach of Clemson. You know, he's still a very good coach, still a top-5 coach in the sport. But him not adapting to the times is hurting that program from being elite again. Let's go to Mike Greenberg. I have not heard this. This is on the ESPN. But the slug line here is that Mike Greenberg compares the face of the NBA to, and then it says on my list, ... Horn. I don't think this is a typo, but let's listen up.
Face of the NBA is one of those things, like in court definition of pornography. You just know it when you see it. Wow. I mean, that's an old expression. Oh, that's not, I'm right. Just making no, that up.
I think we're the two older guys. We're the yeah.
You know,
the
young people.
I'm familiar with that.
I was like, what?
Yeah. I'm not ready for that.
It was a Supreme Court.
Not this early in the morning.
You know it when you see it. Like, you don't have to argue about it. You just know it.
Guess they need to talk about porn on Get Up so people actually get up to watch the show. Dun-dun-dun. Huh? That is a Mike Greenberg. Can we check his browser history? Why is he talking about porn when talking about the face of the NBA? Oy, that was weird. Finally, here's Caitlin Clark on starting her WNBA career 0-4.
Obviously, everybody's disappointed, but, you know, it's not going to do us any good to all just hang our heads and pout about why we didn't win. It's just, you got to go back and watch the film. But at the same time, like, we did a lot of really good stuff, especially in the fourth quarter, the momentum that we found. You know, we got to stop fouling at the end of shot clocks. Like, they made some tough baskets on us. But we were right there. So I think it's like, you got to keep your head up, but you also.
So there you go. That's Caitlin Clark. I was watching the end of that game last night. I was hoping she was going to make a late three. I think, is it Boston, I think, is the name of the player she plays with? She just missed a layup. I was watching that game last night, and, you know, unfortunate. I was hoping that Caitlin Clark was going to get an opportunity. Leah Boston, I believe. All righty. Anyway, fun show today. Big thanks, Cedric Maxwell, Derek Stepan, Peter DeBoer, each and every one of you. We will talk mañana, everybody, at 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific. Botcher, Stu, thank you. We out. Bye-bye.
Peace.
The wait is over. That's right. Season 5 of The Kardashians is here. Just when you thought life couldn't get any faster, they're punching it into overdrive. Kris, Kourtney, Kim, Khloe, Kendall, and Kylie are back and continue to defy expectations in all their endeavors. So, get ready to go behind the glitz and glamour of the most iconic family on television. The all-new season of The Kardashians premieres May 23rd, streaming on Hulu.
Dive into the start of summer at Whole Foods Market. Check out their summer splash event with sales on fresh organic produce, organic strawberries, and a fan favorite sale on Ben & Jerry's and Talenti. Explore deals on grill-friendly meats like organic air-chilled chicken breast, beef and chicken kebabs, all with no antibiotics ever from our meat department. Plus, grab easy sides from prepared foods and cool off with refreshing drinks. Kick off your summer and shop in store or online at Whole Foods Market today.
Tired of sifting through countless supplements? Unsure of what's actually effective? Introducing Legion, the choice of over 800,000 discerning fitness enthusiasts. With all-natural products, clinically effective ingredients, doses, and hassle-free money-back guarantee, you can achieve your fitness goals without the unnecessary guesswork. Say goodbye to wasted efforts and hello to results with Legion. You don't need supplements to build muscle, lose fat, or get healthy, but the right ones can help. Visit LegionAthletics.com. Go to LegionAthletics.com to get 20% off your order now.